This time of year, it's customary for most of us to take vacation. Now, for each person and each family, a vacation means a different thing. For me growing up, it was the same thing every year. We loaded up the cars. It took multiples for our family to go. We loaded up the cars and we headed to East Oklahoma to a lake called Lake Tenkiller. We pitched our two tents. One was a screen tent for cooking and eating, and the other tent was a tent for all 10 of us to sleep in. It was a fun time of swimming and water skiing some years and reading and playing games. And while I have many fond memories of summers together as a family, that is not the kind of vacation I like to take now. For me, it is not vacation unless there's an indoor toilet, electricity, running water, and air conditioning. My four major requirements. There are really two kinds of vacation for me. One are where Roy and I go to some place that there's lots of things we want to see and do, and we get up every morning and we go, 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 and we see this and we see that and we learn and we have a great time and we go back to the hotel and we drop into bed at night and then we get up in the next morning and we do it all over again. The other type is the type that I tend to be drawn to more now than I used to be. And that's the type where we go to a place that is quiet and peaceful and restful. And we spend the time reading a book, watching the water, being still. I think that is what Jesus was sensing that the disciples needed that day. It was what Jesus seemed to need. A little time away. You might remember that just earlier at this point in time in Jesus' life, John the Baptist has been murdered. Jesus' cousins, the one who spent his life preparing the way for Jesus, and his life is taken away. Crowds are following Jesus everywhere he goes. Jesus is tired, he's hurting, he's grieving. He wants to get away. But what happens to Jesus is something that has probably happened to each one of us at some time or another. The best laid plans get changed. Our scripture today in the lectionary is very interesting because it bookends a very familiar story. It happens before the feeding of the 5,000 and right after the feeding of the 5,000. Next week, the lectionary tells the story of the feeding from John's point of view, but this is Mark's point of view. What we read today, we see that Jesus is very human. This is a very human moment for him. Jesus needs to get away from the people who are draining him of his spirit, his energy. He maybe needs to get away from the world that has disappointed him, and maybe just away from the noise and the confusion and the crowds. But he is showing us that he needs time for himself, just like we at times need time for ourselves. So Jesus and the 12 head out for a little rest and recreation. They have the boat packed, they're all ready to go, and they head out for their destination. But when their boat hits land, the crowds have gathered. There's no peace, there's no quiet in the future. Now Jesus could have said, "Turn the boat around and let's get out of here." But Jesus didn't say that. He gets out of the boat. And the scripture says he has compassion for the crowd. Compassion. He begins to teach them. Then we jump to the end scripture. They get back on the boat and they head to a new place. Let's try this again. Let's go get some rest. Once again, he gets in the boat and they head off. And what happens when he gets there? The crowds are all around. They've brought people in on stretchers. They are in need of healing. All they want to do is touch the fringe of his garment. This isn't a very confusing or a tricky scripture. It's pretty straightforward. I think there are several things that are important for us to listen to in this passage. One I've mentioned and I will repeat, and that is that we see Jesus' humanness. Just like you and me, Jesus grieves. Jesus got tired. Jesus needed time away, some time to recoup, to have energy and to have strength to go on. It's hard to picture Jesus that way, isn't it? But imagine how you might feel if you were constantly followed by groups of people. I think about the celebrities that we watch on the news every day, and they have no time where they're not in public eye. Perhaps Jesus was beginning to feel the heaviness of what was about to come for him. He knows the price he's going to have to pay. He knows the pain and suffering that is just ahead of him. He's watched John the Baptist go through tremendous suffering. There's a lot to bear. The second thing that I see is that in spite of the fact that Jesus was tired and drained, it didn't stop him from taking care of the needs of those around him. He knew the crowds around him needed him, and rather than turn away and take care of himself, like we might tend to do, he put himself and his needs aside, and he sat down and he began to teach. I feel like for us today as followers of Christ, it would be easy to say, Jesus wants me to go away and have some time to myself, and I'm going to do that. And I don't disagree that we must do that. Sabbath is an important part of our faith. But I think that we saw in Jesus his willingness to recognize the times when he needed to go away and the times that he needed to put others first. Even when it meant pushing himself a little, when it meant putting his own needs aside. I know there are times when I am in the deepest moments of despair. And in those times, doing something for another person can oftentimes allow you to quit worrying about yourself and let you lift another up. And that very act can lift your spirits. The people following Jesus were, as Jesus called them, sheep without a shepherd. They had leaders like Herod and the Pharisees who were not focused on their well-being. They were focused on their own agendas. Jesus understood that they were searching for someone to just lead them. And he knew he needed to give them the hope and the security in knowing that they were in his heart. They were loved. It seems to me that we might be in a place in our world where there are a lot of sheep without a shepherd. Where people are wandering around, not really sure what to believe or who to follow. The writer Brian McLaren says that people are fleeing some popular expressions of the Christian church in the United States because they're tired of being told whom they must hate in order to be a Christian. People are fleeing the church because they're tired of being told whom they must hate in order to be Christians. People are hearing that in order to be a child of God, you must reject certain people, certain groups. I think this passage is very clear that anyone who wanted to come to Jesus was welcomed. No one was asked, tell me about your belief. Tell me how you live your life. Tell me what nationality you are. No, Jesus said, come away. I feel like we are faced with an important task. A task as true followers of Christ. We are tasked with showing this world that following God means we hate no one. We reject no one, but we love all. God bless the whole world, no exceptions. May we as a church, may we as children of God, may we open our arms just as Christ opened his arms and welcome. May we be willing to lead the sheep to the shepherd. No matter what our plans may be, may we be willing to set those aside and be what Christ calls us to be. Children of God who love one another. Amen and amen.